Hallelujah. He is the great I am, the first and the last, the everlasting Father, the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you get a hold of no other concept here tonight, that's one concept the Almighty God wants you to have, is that He is the great I Am, which means He is always there, the self-existent one. Praise God. So you don't have to go a long way to find Him. You don't have to look a long way off. He is always with us. Praise God. Amen. If you would stand one more time, I want to read from the book of Mark. We're going to read it in chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Hallelujah. If you feel the presence of God, why don't you lift your hand right now? Praise God. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And they brought young children to Him that He should touch them. And His disciples rebuked those that brought them. And when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And He took them up in His arms, put His hands upon them, and blessed them. Praise God. You may be seated. That was last time. This time we're asking why. What does this mean? Why? See? Amen. The first words of my notes are, what does it mean to come to Jesus like a little child? What does it mean to come unto Jesus like a little child? There have been many messages preached on this thought, been framed in many terms, depending on who you listen to and who you talk to, it means different things to come to Jesus like a little child. I'm not sure I understand everything that that means. I know some of the things. I understand some of the elements necessary for us to come to Jesus. And some of those things we equate with being a child certainly implies that we need to be humble when we come to God. Such a great presence of God here tonight. I was so humbled by His touch and by His presence. I hope you feel the same way. If you want to come to God, if you want to understand God, if you want to understand God's Word, if you want Him to work in your life, we must first understand humility. We must recognize that I'm just me and He's God. Amen. Now, I know not everyone has had an ideal childhood. Probably not anyone here has had an ideal childhood. Many people are from single parent homes. Some here probably have the foster home experience in their background. Some of us were raised in two parent families. Some of us saw our families break up. We've all had a different experience. So sometimes it's a little hard to make that application of child and a parent. But I know this, that the Bible tells me that God is our Heavenly Father. And in every positive aspect of that relationship, we can relate to Him in those terms. That every right thing, every good thing about the Father-child relationship is exemplified by our Heavenly Father. And if we want to know Him if we want to understand Him, if we want to know how to serve Him, how to please Him, how to grow in His kingdom, we must approach Him as a little child. Jesus went on to say, "For such is the kingdom of God." So what He meant was that not only children will be entering into the kingdom, but those who come to Him as a child. Statistics show that as a population ages, the percentage of people that are willing to commit themselves to a change of belief system lessens. What that means is that the older we get, the less likely we are to accept the truth that we did not understand or accept previously. So the chances of you coming into a right relationship with God are lessened as you grow older, because we're less open to change in our belief systems as we age. It's kind of funny that when you think about it, because when we're younger, we think we know everything. And everyone over 40 said, "Amen." But we're more open to changing our beliefs. And on the other hand, when we get older, we know we don't know everything, but we're a lot less open to changing our beliefs. The truth is, we, all of us, each of us, only get so many chances to receive the gospel. I can't tell you how many chances you're going to get. I can't tell you how many times you're going to hear this message before your time is up. I can't tell you how many opportunities you will have to hear the Word of God. This may be your last time. It may be one of many yet. But we don't know. This is part of the problem we have in our relationship with God. There are so many things that we really don't know. And because much of what we believe is based on what we can see, what we can feel, what we can touch, it's hard for us to answer the question why, oftentimes. We ask the question, but we don't know how to hear the answer. Every time we're confronted with the truth, every time we ask the question why of the Almighty God, our relationship with Him will move one way or another. We sometimes think that we can reach a place of stasis in our walk with God, like I've arrived at this plane or this plateau and I'm going to stay here, but it doesn't work that way. You're either moving forward or you're moving backward. And every time you're confronted with the truth of God's presence, every time you're confronted with the true Word of God, you are required by the nature of things to either draw closer to Him or pull further away. You make that choice tonight. We're going to move one way or another. The more we push away, unfortunately, the harder it is the next time to draw close. The Bible tells us that Pharaoh's heart was hardened in the Old Testament. And it even says that the Lord hardened his heart. But I don't believe that it was just that God made his heart hard. I believe that it was the presence of God manifest before Pharaoh. It was the Word of God coming to him, touching him, that caused him to choose my will or his will. And as a result, he pushed against the will of God and his heart was hardened. So it was the presence of God that hardened his heart. We make that choice. You make that choice tonight. Even the disciples, the Bible says, when they saw, they saw the miracles of the loaves and the fishes, and they got in the boat, and Jesus came to them on the water, and he said, "What, is your heart hardened that you couldn't believe? Didn't I just feed 5,000? We ask the question, why? And that's a dangerous thing, because it's a confrontational thing. And if we're going to confront the Almighty God, we want to make sure that we approach it in the right way, because the result is going to be either positive or negative. You know, sometimes we see things happen just like the disciples did. We see things happen and we say, "I can't believe it." That's a bad response, because that's a lack of faith. When we say, "I can't believe it," we're negating what's actually happening. So when God does a miracle, "I can't believe the way God moved last night." Well, you should believe it. You were there. Amen. But a little child believes what we tell them. Hence, Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy. I want to ask you, do you believe the Word of God is true? You believe that the whole Bible is the Word of God? And no, do you really believe it? Amen. James said that faith without works is dead. What that means is, if you say you believe something but you're unwilling to back it up by action, then you really don't have faith. If we believe something, we act on it. If I believe that the ice is thick enough to hold me, I am going to walk out on the lake. Some people's faith is kind of foolish sometimes, but Peter said that on the day of Pentecost that they should repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Those people believed it, because the Bible says that over 3,000 people were added to them that day. Now, do you believe that if you repent and are baptized in Jesus' name, that God will wash away all of your sins? Amen. Now, all of us Pentecostals, we all say, "Oh yes, amen, amen." Why? Because we've experienced it. But I'm talking to those that are here tonight that have never had that experience. I want to tell you that the Bible says that your sins can be forgiven by God Himself before you leave this place. It's a promise in the Word of God. And if you believe it, you have the opportunity to act on that belief tonight. Your sins can be washed away in Jesus' name by water baptism. That's what the Bible says. Do you believe that? Then what are you waiting for? Praise God. Do you really believe that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit? The Bible says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And suddenly they all began to speak with other tongues. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Do you believe that really happened? Do you believe that can happen to you? Then what are you waiting for? The Bible says that he that comes to God must believe that he is. Amen. I believe God is. I believe He's real. I believe He's present here tonight. I believe He's alive. We were singing in the worship service, and in my mind's eye, I closed my eyes and I just thought, imagine Jesus walking up and down the aisles, and I prayed that everyone here tonight would be aware of His presence. Because He's alive and He's real. I believe it. If you want to get something from God tonight, if you want to draw near to God tonight, if you want to understand something more about God before you leave here tonight, you must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those that seek Him. Amen. Too many of us were raised with the concept of God somehow sitting behind, like the Wizard of Oz, you know, behind the curtain. And he's putting on a light show out front, but you can't really see Him because He's behind the curtain. No, God doesn't want to hide behind the curtain. He just wants to know that you're desiring to meet Him. If you will step out in faith, He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. He wants to do good things for us. Praise God. God wants to do good things for us. Are you ready? God is good all the time. Praise God. Have you ever spent any time with a child just learning about the world? I mean, they are so, when they're just starting to figure out what's going on around them, they just are so curious. Sometimes too curious. But they start asking, why? And you give them an answer, and then they say, and you give them an answer, and they say, now it's not so cute anymore. And you give them another answer, and they say, and then you say, go ask your mother. But the child can be truly curious. There's a real curiosity. They're asking because they want to know. They're hungry for truth. And that's the only way of finding answers. Why is not such a bad thing? Sometimes. Give that child a few years and a little more experience. And you come into their room and you say, clean this mess up. And the child says, and you give them an answer and they say, and you tell them why and they say, and then you say, because I said so. What's the difference between these two scenarios? The difference is why you're asking why. Praise God. There were people who asked Jesus why. Luke 5:30. The Bible says the scribes and Pharisees murmured against His disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And then a few verses later, they said unto Him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And in the next chapter of Luke 6 and 2, they said, certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do you do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? Well, the key to these transactions is in the first phrase there in 5:30, where it says the scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples. They didn't really want an answer from God. They didn't want an answer from Jesus. They were murmuring and complaining. And that's what we do sometimes when we ask why. They didn't want to know why they were eating with sinners or why they weren't fasting. They were murmuring. They were accusing. They were finding faults. That's why so many of us don't like that question, because we feel like there's an accusation in it. They didn't want to know why Jesus was doing what he was doing on the Sabbath day. Actually, at one point in the scripture, he explained to them why he was doing what he was doing on the Sabbath day. He said, I'm the Son of God. I'll do what I want on the Sabbath day. Basically, he said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. He told them why, and they still didn't listen. That's our problem sometimes. We're asking the question, but we're not listening for the answer. God wants to reveal himself to us. And we want to murmur and complain about the way he's doing things. Jesus was saying to them, I am more important than the Sabbath laws. In another place in the book of Hebrews, basically the scripture says that he is the Sabbath. That's another message. But they weren't looking for truth. They were looking to find fault. The disciples asked why sometimes. They asked him, why did the scribes in the Old Testament say that Elias was going to come first before the Messiah? They were trying to figure out who Jesus was. And there was a prophecy that said Elijah would come first. And they were trying to figure it out. That's a good reason to ask why. In another place, they asked him privately, how come we couldn't cast the demons out? Why? Praise God. You see, it's not such a bad thing to come into the house of God and ask why. Why are you asking why? That's the question. Amen. We do the same thing. We do the same thing as what the scribes and the Pharisees did to Jesus. We say, why did this happen to me? We really don't want to know the answer. Maybe it happened to me because I was doing something I wasn't supposed to do. What we're really saying is, I don't deserve this. Or, this is somebody else's fault. If we really wanted to know why it was happening, we would be confronted with the things that we need to change in ourselves. Two amens. Why am I always getting speeding tickets? Because you're driving too fast. Why am I losing my license for drunk driving? How come I never win when I gamble? Here's a good one. Why can't I get along with anyone? We don't really want to know the answers to those questions. We do the same thing with God. Why did this have to happen, God? How can you let this happen to me? Do we realize what we're doing when we ask God that question? Think about it. You know, we come to God and we ask him, why is there evil in the world? Why was I treated this way? Why was I born this way? We're demanding an answer from the creator of the universe. We're telling the almighty creator of everything that is that he has to give an account to me. Not only that, most of the time what we're trying to do is blame God for something that we don't like. Who am I? Who are you to demand anything from God? Why, God? But we can come to God as a little child. And we can ask Him questions. Why am I here, God? God, why do I keep falling into the same mess? Why can't I change the things that I want to change? Those are very similar questions to what I just asked. But it's an entirely different attitude. Why am I so lonely, God? See, it's why. We're asking why. Am I challenging God? Am I requiring God to give an account? How can I expect an answer from that question? Or am I seeking God? And is He challenging me? Why can't I overcome sin in my life? Because I'm human, and my human nature is sinful. Why? Because sin entered into the world when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. Why did they sin? Because their selfish desires caused them to disobey. Why did they have selfish desires? Because they were humans made of flesh. Why? Because it was necessary. Listen to this. It was necessary for them to be able to choose between right and wrong. Why? Because without choice, there's no love. And God wants to share His love with you and me. And He wants us to love Him back. The real answer for why is in the most famous verse of the Bible. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's why. That's why. That's why we're here tonight. Because God loves us. That's why there's sin in the world. Because without choice, there would be no love. Man fails. I fail, you fail. But God loves. That's why. That's why God came in the flesh in Jesus Christ. Because He loves us. He wants to forgive us. I said He wants, do you believe that? He wants to forgive us. That's why He died on the cross. To pay the price for our sins. Because of His great love. That's why you feel what you feel tonight. His presence is here. That's why we come down and pray at the altar at the end of every service. Because God is alive, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That's why we baptize in Jesus' name. Because He loved us so much that He took on human flesh and died on a cross. Was buried and rose again. That's why. Because God loves you. God loves me. That's why. Let's look at our text again. Mark 10. Verse 13. They brought young children to Him that He should touch them. And His disciples rebuked those that brought them. That word young children, I might be reading from a different version. Sometimes I print different versions. That word there is talking about probably, you know, toddlers. Little children. Suffer the little children to come unto Me. They were bringing children to Jesus so that He could have interaction with them. So He could touch them. Physical touch. It was a representation of a blessing. And we focus on the next two verses. When Jesus saw it, He was displeased. Suffer, the allow, that means allow. I was in the church for about 2 years before I understood what suffer meant. But that means allow the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. That's the part we remember. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. But notice at first, the first part is that they brought those children to him. They believed that there was something there. They believed there was something different about Jesus. They brought them there so that he could touch them, so that he could bless them, so that something they could receive something from God. Amen. We need to have that kind of attitude. That's what it means to come as a little child, believing that God has something for you here tonight. Amen. But then look at the last verse of this passage. He took them up in his arms. We come into church, we're looking for a touch. I always had trouble with that song, Sister Vicky. Wrap me in your arms. It's a little too touchy-feely for me, you know. Wrap me in your arms. But that's what it says right there. He took them in his arms. Listen. I trust that you have felt the presence of God here tonight. I know I have. But he wants to do more than just touch you. He wants to wrap his love around you and let you know that he's as close as he can be. He wants you to understand that he cares so much for you that he came in the flesh and died on the cross, and that he's wanting to forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. He wants you to know that he cares about you. He wants you to feel his presence in such a great way that you'll be willing to surrender your life to him. He wrapped them in his arms. He took them in his arms. Then he laid his hands on them and he blessed them. Praise God. Let's stand. They came for a touch from the rabbi. It was a traditional thing. The rabbi's teaching, let him touch, let him pray. Let him touch you. Let him put his hands on you and pray for you. We do that at the altar. The Bible says to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We call for the elders and we put oil on the forehead and pray for them. We do the same thing. But he took them in his arms, these little children, and blessed them. You see, even Jesus sometimes asked the question, why? When Mary was at the tomb, Jesus looked at her and she didn't even recognize him. But he asked her, why are you weeping? And he's asking you the same question tonight. Why are you still hurting inside? Why are you still lonely? Why are you still hungry? Why are you still letting sin rule your life? Why are you weeping? I'm right here. When Jesus was taken up into heaven, the angels came and met with the disciples as they were watching him go, and they said, why are you standing here? This same Jesus, he's going to come back. But he's already given you his word. You have a purpose, you have a promise, you have a direction to follow. Praise God. Why are we not drawing close to God? Why don't we recognize him when he's here? Why don't we respond to his word? He wants to do more than just let you feel his presence tonight. He wants to do more than just bless you and send you on your way. He wants to surround you with his love. He wants to heal your broken heart. He wants to fill you with his spirit. He wants to wash your sins away. That's why. That's why we're here tonight. That's why we're worshiping God. Praise God. Why don't you come and pray? And let God answer that question for you personally. Why? In Jesus' name.
One who made
need the Holy Ghost, if you want to repent from your sin, if you want to turn your life over to God, come on down on this side and we'll help you reach out to Jesus. If you need healing tonight, why don't you come down on this side? We'll pray for your healing. God is able. God is willing. God is here. He will do it. We're believing for miracles. We want to see the color blue tonight. We want God to reveal himself in miracles and signs and wonders. You can receive the Holy Ghost. You can be filled to overflowing. You can be baptized in Jesus' name and your sins washed away. Come on down and pray. That's why we're here. If you have something you're struggling with in your life, running up against it, come on right down here in the middle. Ask Jesus why. He's got an answer for you tonight. The Bible says we can cast all of our cares upon him. He cares for us. Hallelujah. 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 Please come and pray. Come and ask God to not just touch you, but to fill you, to change you, to shape you.